The lesson is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, beginning at verse 11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be glorifying unto you, O Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Well, good morning. It's a real joy to be with you all for your United Service today and to mark the conclusion of this course that many of you have been doing with the diocese called Great is Thy Faithfulness. And members of the church have been working and reflecting hard on what your next season of mission and outreach is going to look like. And it's quite a demanding course. There's a lot of content and lots of sessions and a lot of material to engage with and a lot of prayers to be prayed and discussions to be had. But I'm afraid to be realistic with you, I have to say that now the course is finished, the real work begins. So I don't know if that, just raise a hand if you were part of that group. Oh, brilliant. Thank you. Oh, good. Thank you so much to those of you who've been part of that. But yeah, the work begins not just for the members of the course, but for you all as a church, as you have this season of a fresh vision for growing your church family here. We know that it is a wonderful, wonderful thing to be part of a growing church. I personally don't think there is anything more wonderful in the world than to be part of a church that is healthy and growing and reaching new people with the good news of Jesus. And we know that most Church of England churches are not growing, but you are. Here you are in this little bit of Sussex that God has placed you in and given to you. It's not a famous bit. It's not an infamous bit. It's not a big city. It's not a tiny village. It's not the richest bit of Sussex that we've got. It's not the poorest bit. But it's here in the West Weald Parish. This is your bit. This is your bit. This is your treasure entrusted to you. And you are in the wonderfully privileged position of being part of a growing church family. In surveys of growing churches, do you know what the number one most important factor is in being a growing church? The number one thing. People think, well, the secret to being a growing church must surely be that the sermons are brilliant. Or maybe that the buildings are really accessible and modern and really comfortable. Or maybe that the refreshments are expensive and you get chocolate biscuits that come in gold foil wrapping. Is that the answer? And kind of Costa coffee. Or maybe that the church has got loads of money to employ loads of staff to do brilliant work. Or maybe that there's someone in church who's phenomenal at computers, so the church website and all the church social media is amazing. In actual fact, the most important factor for being part of a growing church is absolutely none of those things. It's not great sermons, warm buildings, posh coffee, lots of money, or a slick website. These things are good. I don't knock them. I love a posh chocolate biscuit if I can find a church with one. Those things are good. But the number one factor of growing Church of England churches is this. The members of the church are agreed that they want the church to grow. The members of the church are agreed that they want the church to grow. The members of the church are committed to a vision that they want to be part, they want to be part of a growing church. The members know that it is not easy to grow a church. It will take a lot of prayer and hard work, and it will mean change, and no one likes change. Even people who say they like change, I promise you, they don't like change. No one really likes change. But we see all over the diocese that there are lots of churches that are growing. And this happens primarily when the members of the church are agreed that they want their church to grow. Why? Why would members want the church to grow? Because they are agreed that faith in Christ really matters. It really matters. They agree that becoming a Christian is the single most important and best decision anyone could ever make. Anyone, anywhere, at any time, in any place. They're agreed that they don't want to belong to a small, exclusive, aging, religious, social club. Sadly, that is what many churches have become. But they want to be part of a vibrant family that is on mission together to extend the reach of the kingdom of God, to embrace anyone who doesn't yet know the life and light and love of God in this world of darkness and death and disconnection. The members are agreed they want their church to grow, and they don't want to keep the good news to themselves. They're agreed that it really, really matters. That's the first thing. You might say, well, what's the second thing? What's the second thing? Is it great sermons and warm buildings and posh coffee and a slick website? No, none of those things make the list. The second thing for growing churches is that they are agreed that every single person has a ministry to offer. Every member finds their place serving the church. Every member is sent in the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. And that is the heart of it all, that we have experienced for ourselves the transforming truth that death is not the end. Love and light and life of Jesus triumphs. And he sends us into the world to bear this news. And we're engaged in this work of witness and worship, not in our own strength. Our own strength is weak and frail and faltering, but in the authority of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. So today we're thinking about the ways that each one of us can play our part in the health and the strength of the church. Answer me this: how is the church similar to a helicopter? How is the church similar to a helicopter? If you get too close, you get caught in the rotor. Isn't that true? It will definitely be the case that there are many people here who have served very, very faithfully over many, many years. Thank you. Thank you to all of you who have been serving here. Thank you for what you've given of yourselves to the church, to the benefits. I know we're not just talking about St. Mary's this morning, all the churches gathered. Many of you will have been on the rotor. You will have got caught in the rotors. You'll be on rotors for all kinds of roles, and it is a big investment of our time and our effort and our energy. So if you're feeling a little bit tired, a little bit weary perhaps from your roles of service, I pray that you're refreshed today in word and sacrament. And if you don't know yet how God is calling you to serve this church, I hope today helps. Or maybe you do have a role, but perhaps in this season, it's not quite the right role for you. And today we can guide you to discern God's will. And our reading from Ephesians is a great help. St. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, encouraging them towards health and fruit and maturity in Christ. And he says it takes all kinds of gifts to grow the church, to create a healthy church family where people mature. And he lists some of them, not all of them. Verse 11, Christ gave apostles, people who are sent to do kind of innovative leadership, prophets, people who warn of judgment and call people to repent in the light of it, evangelists, people who are very fruitful in sharing the good news of Jesus with those who don't know him, pastors, people who have Christ's compassion and a people-shaped people to connect with hearts and minds, particularly with the suffering. Teachers, people who love explaining the word of God and instructing people in theology and doctrine. And all these people are given to equip God's people, it says, for works of service so that the church may be built up, so that we reach unity together and become mature. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, they're five gifts. There are other lists with many more gifts. And God gives those gifts to some in the church to lead and minister in a particular way. But the purpose of those church leaders is never to do the ministry. The purpose of church leaders, it says right here, is to equip the members of the church to do the ministry of the church, so the church is built up. So if you're a leader in this church, a lay leader or an ordained leader, a priest, a deacon, an authorized minister, a reader, your job is to equip each member of the church to find their place of meaningful ministry so that the church can be healthy and grow, and so that all of us can mature in Christ. And if you are not a leader in the church, your job is to find your ministry of service and to see your role, whatever it is, as indispensable to the health and life of the church as we seek to make Jesus known. How do you go about doing that? Well, firstly, you think about how God made you tick, how God has given you a personality, various strengths and skills that no one else has, various things that you are passionate about, life experiences that are unique to you, that make you good at something. Everyone has at least one spiritual gift. Consider yourself as God sees you, uniquely shaped, uniquely gifted to serve him in a uniquely fruitful way. And then you consider the needs of the church. What are we going to focus on in this parish, in this benefice, in order to grow in this next season? Where are the gaps on the rotas where nobody wants to do that job? Where can I fit myself in and give time and trouble and commitment and prayer so that the church will be stronger? There are all kinds of roles for all kinds of people, and I guarantee you there is a role for you in the children's church, in eco church, in publicity, hospitality, DIY, art, evangelism, social events, finance, pastoral care, admin. Admin is an entire spiritual gift of itself. And in church, we know the people who are good at admin. We know the people who are not good at admin and need to be kept away from admin for the sake of everybody else's sanity. But the people who are good at admin, very, very precious. The list goes on. And you might think, well, I'm only good at admin. That is a spiritual gift. The church can't live without it. Those with admin are nodding at me, going, yeah. In the New Testament image of a church, it is often pictured as a household, a family household. This is how the church should be. If church is home for you, then your role is to welcome others into this household that has become your home. A family where we love and host and serve each other. At its best, that is what the church is. At its worst, the church is a building that people come to once a week to consume a religious show that is put on by just one or two people. That's at its worst. But at its best, it's a household. It reminds me of my household. In our house, I've got two teenagers, and we have an expectation that they will contribute. They will pitch in on some of the jobs that make the household function. that's being part of the family. And from some time, it won't surprise you, occasionally they need reminding to do some of these roles of service. Bit of help with the laundry, clear your plates. And suddenly, you know, when you get to that point as a parent and you promised yourself you would never do this, and then you do it, you start using phrases that your parents used on you, and you hear them coming out your mouth at your own children. And recently I said to my daughter, "This is a home, not a hotel." And as it came out, I absolutely died inside as I realized that is exactly what my mother used to say to me, "Ruth, this is a home and not a hotel." There are responsibilities that come with family membership. In the church, responsibilities are not separate from being a part of the blessing of being a member. They're one and the same thing, because as we serve, this passage teaches us, so we are blessed, so we are built up, so we are conformed in the likeness of Jesus Christ, and the whole household reaches unity and maturity together. In the Bible, when we read the word serve, it's often a bad translation of the Greek. It actually means minister. This passage, our translation said, when you serve, it's when you minister. We might be comfortable knowing we do a job in church, or you've got a role, or that you're a volunteer. But actually, all these things are your ministry. This is ministry. It's not just a rota slot that you fulfill. It's not just volunteering. It's serving Jesus himself, ministering to his people. So if you're on the stewarding team on a Sunday, it's not just because someone needs to stand at the door and hand out some hymn sheets. It's because every single person coming in, including the vicar, needs to know the welcome of God as they enter this house of prayer. And the love of God from the car park in. If you join the finance team and you process some expenses and manage some budgets and prepare for audits, that is a ministry, because it contributes to building up God's kingdom. It's not just a spreadsheet and just a bit of finance. If you help out with the mums and toddlers midweek playgroup, it's not just because the village needs a playgroup. It's because the parents and children of this parish need to know the love of God, and you are making God known to them. Whatever you do, can I encourage you to see your role as a ministry, that you are a minister of the Lord Jesus, a minister of the love and light and life of Christ himself. I want to close very briefly with a reminder. Whenever we talk about our ministry, our roles of service in church, we are talking about something very finite. We're taught in Scripture to have a certain, quite unique perspective. It says this in 1 Peter 4:7, "The end of all things is near." The end of all things is near. We had better take the opportunity now to serve the purposes of God, because the day is coming when there is no more serving to be done. No more pastoral care teams, because there is no more grief or brokenness or sadness or loneliness. There'll be no more food bank team, because there is no more hunger and no more poverty. No more Christian aid collections, because there is no more material need. No more children's ministry, because there is no longer any opportunity to introduce the next generation to Jesus. And in many ways, like the early church, we long for that day, don't we, when Jesus will return. All creation will be made new. The old order of things will pass away. We long for that, and we set our hope on that reality. The Bible says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived of what God has prepared for those who love him. The end of all things is near. Because of that, in the meantime, for this short while, it depends on us. May we grasp the opportunities of this day. May our passion and our vision be to serve the purposes of God here and now in this little place that God has entrusted to you, to make Christ known as we minister in his name and say to others around us, welcome home. Amen.